neglect. And we do so as the administrative authority addressing these cases. We also work in close cooperation with the Attorney General's Office, the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights, to bring to their attention those situations that are brought to light as a result of this strategy, including those instances involving adolescents in conflict with the law. And we have been able to improve our approach to addressing these cases thanks to a shift in mindset that we need to adopt a tailored approach to adolescents in conflict with the law to make sure that they get a tailor-made approach to each individual case that is focused on social and family reintegration first and foremost, in line with Article 72 of the Code of Adolescent Criminal Responsibility. The special protection units are at the forefront of this endeavour, the responsible body for addressing cases involving children and adolescents, particularly those who lack a family support or a family framework or are at risk of losing same, in order to issue protection measures that will ensure that those children and adolescents can have their rights restored to them, principally the right to live in a family setting. Said actions pursued by the special protections unit are carried out free of any discrimination whatsoever. The overall purpose and goal is to ensure full protection for children and adolescents, particularly those at risk. Complementary provision 14 of Legislative Decree 1297 covers the competences and mandate of special protection units when it comes to issuing special protection measures as part of their response to family neglect that are commensurate with those that also cover those cases that have to be passed up because of the seriousness of the nature to the Attorney General's Office or the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights as part of our approach to juvenile justice, in line, and all of this in line with existing national and international standards when dealing with cases involving juvenile offenders, which is focused first and foremost, to circle back to a point made earlier, on meeting their needs, not a purely punitive approach. On the Sodalicio case, here I would like to share with you that the investigation into the crimes that were alleged to have been committed was carried out by the judiciary in the Attorney General's Office in Peru. The Ministry for Women and Vulnerable Populations flatly rejected and continues to flatly reject any kind of violence exercised or meted out against those who are the victims of others who are in a position of power or authority over them. We join the call upon the Attorney General and the judiciary to take action, and also played our part in providing detailed, necessary, pertinent information to those two bodies related to this case. This case was also investigated by the National Congress of the Public via an investigating commission. This was an opportunity for us to request from the state information about the scope and conclusions of this investigation as it went along. On safeguards that have been enacted to prevent violence in residential care homes for children and adolescents, particularly those who have no family setting in which they can live, the Ministry for Women and Vulnerable Populations, as a body, is very demanding and very exacting when it comes to the standards that need to be met for the protection for children and adolescents who are being protected in these residential care centres, these institutions that replace the family setting. We react immediately whenever there is any suspicion of violence occurring, temporarily withdrawing any person suspected or accused of being engaged in such violence, and follow up both via administrative measures as well as with criminal charges when necessary under prosecution. The Comprehensive Programme for Family Wellbeing, INABIF, has an action protocol which can be triggered to respond to situations of violence. This protocol was adopted in 2019. It is intended to feed into the overall approach to ensuring prevention and protection of children and adolescents, particularly those resident in residential centres, to protect them or shelter them from the possibility of violence meted out by a member's staff or a member of the personnel or official working in those centres, or who enters those residential centres in one capacity or another. Moreover, the Comprehensive National Programme for Family Wellbeing guarantees the protection of children and adolescents, whatever their care situation and whatever their care setting, including institutionally, to ensure that all places in which children live and reside are safe and secure. The provisions surrounding the functioning of these residential care centres include the fact that the staff are responsible for ensuring the care for the well-being of the children and adolescents under their care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Staff, before being hired, need to undergo training courses and ideally should have a background in working with children and adolescents. They are regularly assessed by the body responsible for these residential care centres. This is part of our ongoing oversight role, a role which is played by the Ministry for Women and Vulnerable Populations. We have the ultimate oversight role of these residential care centres. Should there be a suspicion of violence involving a member of the staff in these residential care facilities, it must be immediately reported and immediately passed on both to the courts and to the police, as well as to the ministry. The necessary information needs to be shared on the child or adolescent who is suspected of being the target of violence. Whenever a case is flagged of a case involving a child or adolescent who has been subject to threats or there are indications that their physical well-being or mental well-being has been threatened, then the special protection units are informed, as is the Attorney General's office, as well as, where appropriate, the foster family, so the child can be moved to them as an alternative care model whilst the investigations are underway. With regard to the right to physical well-being, and the fact that this may have been violated or suspected of being violated by a peer, i.e. by another child or adolescent in the centre, and then the case is reported first and foremost to the staff in the centre, then to family members, and the case is referred to the Attorney General's office where appropriate. We would now like to turn our attention to some of the outstanding questions from the second round, and to that end I would like to give the floor to the Vice Minister for